Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
All right, guys, it is mid-October, and we are entering into one of our favorite times of the year. If you are a listener of the podcast, you know we love all things scrape-related. Whether that be creating mock scrapes in a new area or adding scent profiles to pre-existing scrapes. These are tactics we like to utilize this time of year to either get an inventory of bucks in a new area or to try and get that target buck into a specific kill location. Now, when it comes to anything mock scrape related or scent related, there's no one we trust more than Brush Creek Monsters. Myself, Chris, and many of our other team members love utilizing their natural scrape vines for any of our mock scrapes. Another one of our favorite products is their Dough on Fire Estrus, which will be available within the next week. One of my favorite things about Brush Creek is that all of their scent products are natural. They come from their deer herd. There are no additives. So you know when you get a bottle of Dough on Fire, it comes from a specific doe. It is bottled fresh and shipped out quickly. Like I said, they're going to have does coming into Estrus within the next week. However, they do have a limited supply. So, if you're wanting to check out any of Brush Creek Monsters products or get a bottle of Dough on Fire, go to brushcreekmonstersllc.com. That is one word, brushcreekmonstersllc.com.
Hey everybody, Rick here from Fueled by the Outdoors, and I'm here to tell you about a wonderful company, Saddy's. Custom Ammunition and Gunworks. Aaron Satterfield and his family have been turning out some awesome game loads lately. I've been using the Saddy's Fatties turkey loads, and I got to tell you, they stop a bird dead. Chris used a 20 gauge this year. I used a 12. Josh used a 20. And my son actually killed one with a 410 this year with one of Saddy's loads. And my God, do they put the birds down like crazy. Aaron Satterfield and his family have a wide-ranging array of ammunition. Custom game loads, predator loads, turkey loads, the Saddy's Fatty, and also they do gun work. Please get a hold of them with any questions that you have in terms of your custom ammunition needs. Go to SaddiesLLC.com. That's SaddiesLLC.com and tell them that Rick from Fueled by the Outdoors sent you.
Recurve buck down, baby. Oh my gosh, that was freaking awesome.
This is my first public land buck. This is my second sit of the season.
I hit him. Oh my gosh, I just heard him fall.
I just shot my Kentucky buck.
Welcome to Fueled by the Outdoors. We're your hosts, Rick Cates and Josh Luck.
Hey, everyone.
And we are not joined by Chris tonight. He is either in a ditch somewhere or in the woods. Let's hope that he's in the woods.
Or trying to stay above water. Maybe he flipped his kayak again. That's a possibility.
It's a very good possibility. But, to be fair, I got a text from him, so he's at least alive in some capacity.
Yeah, so. His phone's at least dry.
So he probably had a little bit better night than either of us. He's been out in the woods hunting a really nice deer, actually. Really, I wish he was on tonight so we could discuss it and kind of how grand this animal is. But that'll be a different story for a different time.
Yes. Yeah, we'll leave Chris's season update to him. Because he's had a few lows so far, and I don't want to speak for him as far as how he's feeling about those. So
yeah, we're not talking about barometric pressure when we mean low either.
Yeah. So we'll, next time he's on, we'll have him kind of give an update. Hopefully by the time he's on, he's got a deer down. So
yeah, I think he's pretty well on like a couple really good deer. It's just a matter of, you know, kind of closing the deal and you know, putting everything together in the right way. He got spoiled, I feel like, last year when he was killing deer on like the first sit, like two or three different times. I'm like, geez, oh man, it's like I remember I when I killed my first deer with a bow, it was like the second time I'd ever sat, and I shot one. And it was a doe, and I remember thinking like, oh, this is a lot easier than what I think it is. And I remember my dad telling me, he goes, bow hunting is never that easy. Don't ever make it out to be in your head. And then that year when I went to deer camp in Ohio, I had the biggest deer, one of the biggest deer I've ever had in front of me in my life. And I reverted back to like a kid, like when you're younger, you get like those little recurves and mm-hmm. you have to hold your finger over the top of the arrow.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I did that when I pulled my string back and the broadhead like hit my finger. I'm like, oh crap. Like I'm not supposed to have this here right now. And then I, all of a sudden there's a doe behind me just staring at me blowing. And this buck just like makes eye contact with me and just like wanders off into for me to never have seen him again.
I've done that once before when I was younger, not thinking. I didn't want my arrow to fall off the rest, and I drew back quickly on a deer. That kind of surprised me. And then, like, I stuck my finger with a broadhead, and I was quickly reminded to remove my finger.
It's one of those, you only have to make the mistake once.
Mm-hmm.
It's like taking a downward shot, a steep angle shot downward. It's like you only got to do it once to know that you don't ever want to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, I think Chris could have killed early in Ohio again this year, but he did have some other guys move into the area that he was hunting. I mean, it's public, but he kind of had some deer dialed and some guys kind of move in last minute on him. So, but he did adjust and got an opportunity at one of them. So,
yeah. And that's the biggest piece is that, you know, if you're going to hunt public, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Like it just is. And we'll get into that a little bit tonight. I don't know. Ethically lately, I've just been getting irked more and more by people just doing kind of dumb stuff around me. Whether it's in the woods or on the water, I'm just like, come on, man. Like, these are people who are like, in it, like, far older than me. And it's, I don't know if it's senility. I don't know if it's just like no one ever taught them or just, they're just kind of like, but like, man, it just like, it makes me want to like punch myself in the forehead sometimes. Like, how is this even going on? But
yeah, you know. I feel like I'm seeing some of that on the internet a lot lately. And it's not like, I don't know if there's just more and more people getting into to public land hunting, just because popularity is obviously up right now. It's, I mean, you see it everywhere. Everyone's talking about it. And even some of the mainstream media, you see talking about it more.
Yeah.
And then so like Midwest Whitetail, they have guys that hunt public and that's kind of all they do now. I think the Bowhunter Die crew, they have some guys that are mainly public now, and it's just the popularity is pretty high. But I don't know if there's like just a big influx of new hunters that are also hunting public land or guys that are going from private to public. But online, I'm just seeing so many people just ask, like, where do I go? Like, can someone point me to a WMA? Like, where would you go here? And I'm like, I mean, I get it. There is a learning curve to hunting public land, that's for sure. But man, like, just...
I mean, it's overly frustrating in a lot of ways, because we make fun of Tyler Sparks about this all the time, where he like asks a question like, did you like use Google at all? any of this? And I get wanting to learn directly from a person and like wanting to know directly from a person about something. But there comes a reality where, you know, damn good and well, if you've hunted at all, like, people aren't going to give up spots. People aren't going to tell you things. Like, I'm not going to like tell some rando on the internet, like, hey, here's a WMA that you should check out. If someone tells you a WMA to check out on the internet, you probably shouldn't go there, because they're probably gar-holing you. Mm-hmm. That's more than likely what they're doing. Like, pull up a map. You know, every DNR website in the United States, this is your public service announcement for the year. Every DNR website across the United States has a map or has a system of every WMA in that state or public land in that state. If you don't want to look at that and you want to look at national forest land or refuges, go to the USDA or the United States Fish and Wildlife Service. All that information is on there. And are you going to be able to know exactly what they are? No, but you know what you can do? Learn how to read a topo map. Figure that out. You don't got to be a cartographer. You don't got to know how to draw maps or anything along those lines, but just like make a reasonable, you know, decision with that kind of stuff. Like, I have never understood it from any sense. Like, it's, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, we're living in a time now where there is just ample amounts of information out there. So if you want to learn how to read a topo, you can just go to YouTube. There's a bunch of videos. Yeah. There's a bunch of fairly knowledgeable hunters that are releasing content on it. Just, there's all kinds of resources. And I don't know, I'm never one to name drop or spot burn, just because I know there very well could be someone that's putting in serious work at a location, and I don't want, you know, to ruin that for someone. So I'm always, I don't like to spot burn for myself, so I never name drop where myself or any of us are going. And then I won't even name drop other locations that I've never been to, because I don't know who's hunting there. And I don't know if someone's putting in serious time at a different WMA. So,
it's one of those things where, and I think if you hunt long enough, you're going to run into it. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to grow up like right on a WMA and like didn't really realize like what all that was. And now I kind of do. And there just becomes a point where, If you're going out on public or anything along those lines, just allow yourself like some grace in that kind of stuff, in working around people and that kind of stuff. Because inevitably you will run into somebody. I did it on public, what was that, two or three years ago when we went and hunted that WMA. And then I've ran into hunters bird hunting. I've ran into hunters turkey hunting. Like, it's gonna happen. Just make sure that you're kind of cordial about it and talk to the people. If you see them in the parking lot, say, look, this is where I was thinking of going, or this is, you know, settle that out. That way you're not putting stands 5 feet away from each other. Just it, and then nobody gets a deer and everybody's pissed. So this isn't an old man gripe session. This isn't what grinds my gears. Josh and I actually want to kind of talk about our season so far. And while neither of us have a deer, I feel like I'm in a wonderful position in Ohio and Kentucky, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Going into stuff. So we kind of wanted to discuss like what's going on with our seasons, what we're seeing. And, you know, when you hear this, it's going to be the weekend of the 20th in October. And you, if you've been in the woods at all right now, you are starting to see everything that you want to see in the woods. So Josh, you go first. Like, you kind of, you know, talk about what, you know, I know you've went scouting a couple of times. I know you've had a couple sits, you know, talk about like what you're seeing, what's going on in your deer season so far.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember how long it's been since we've given like a full on update. It's been a while. I know after opening week in Kentucky, we kind of went over that. So just to kind of recap, started off the year early September hunting in Kentucky, hunted opening weekend, and then I only hunted, let's see, I hunted those 2 days, three or 4 days. I think I hunted 4 days at most in Kentucky, with 1 day being a morning and evening sit, and then the next day being a morning. So 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I've only had 4 sits in Kentucky, five at the most, mainly like the first 2 weeks. But I kind of switched gears because I didn't really have anything kind of patterned down in Kentucky. And just with us being so busy in the summer with the expos and then just with work and my little one, and I had that move, I didn't get to scout Ohio a ton. So I decided to skip hunting pretty much the end of September, the last 2 or 3 weeks, and mainly scout some new places in Ohio. Went and hung some cameras, and my goal was to basically try and hunt down some bucks with cameras in new locations. So I went out and scouted a couple different WMAs, put in some miles, and hung 3 or 4 cams at one place and then a couple at another place. I let them set out for a handful of days, went back and checked one location that I was most intrigued by. There was a lot of just grown up kind of CRP with like fingers of woods and stuff going through it. Just terrain that I find myself leaning towards more and more. But I didn't have anything on camera. I probably wasn't in the right place there, but there was more pressure than what I thought in that area. So I pulled all those, went to a different location on the same WMA, hung some cameras again. I started to find some sign. I'm trying to remember when this was. So it would have been the weekend before Ohio's opener. I went scouting until I found some decent sign. I found some good licking branches. I started finding fresh rubs, hung some cameras, and I actually got, let's see, I checked them maybe a week later, I think. I can't remember. It was a week and a half later. It was after opening weekend in Ohio, and there were actually some bucks in that area that were fairly decent. I want to say I got like a 2-year-old one that looked like a nice, another deer that looked like either a nice 2-year-old or a young 3-year-old that had some potential. And then a buck that looked fairly mature. Again, I have no history, so it's kind of hard to tell. I think I sent pictures of that deer to you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did.
Yeah. I sent it to like Dakota Cantrell, and he called him Swoops McGee. just because his beams kind of swooped around.
Yep.
So that's the name of that buck. But might have been like a 30s deer. And then got to that place a little bit more, and I hunted it. I did like a scout hunt, so I scouted it again and then ended up sitting in that scrape. I didn't see anything. But I hadn't hung cameras in other places. And then I went back like the following weekend and checked the camera. I hunted in a location in a morning, and I actually had a pretty decent sit. I don't know if I told you this, Rick. I did tell Chris. I saw like 8 deer that morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was hunting kind of this like creek bottom with like two ridges on either side. It was a fairly open creek bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And the ridges kind of dumped down. One was off of private, one was from the public. And then it got thicker, and then on top of either ridge was like grown up CRP. So in my mind, I was like, and there was kind of ag in the surrounding areas. I was like, okay, I'll hunt here in the morning, maybe catch something going back to bed somewhere in here or transitioning later morning between these kind of bedding areas, or what I suspected was bedding areas. I had seen like a spike buck, and then I saw two fawns and a doe later in the morning. It was like 10:30. I had like a flurry of activity. And then I saw a handful of other deer that were like 60 yards down from me crossing, mm-hmm. This little creek crossing. Like, I couldn't tell what they were, but they were in a group. So I'm assuming they were does and fawns. But it was a pretty good morning. And then I actually checked that camera I had set and got another nice deer. That showed up the morning prior I hunted. So if I would have hunted the day before, like I would have had a pretty nice deer. I think he's three, but he has like, if he goes to four or five, he has the potential to be like a giant, that looks like.
Wow.
So I've been kind of focusing on that area a little bit just because, and I almost went to, so like I said, there were a couple of different WMAs where I hung mm-hmm, cameras. Mm-hmm. And the other one actually had a lot more oaks dropping. What we've kind of noticed.
Whites are red.
So there's a ton of whites there, but they weren't dropping. And I haven't noticed too many whites dropping. Hardly any, actually. Definitely quite a few chinkapins dropping, which is in the white family. But there was a ton of whites at this place. None of them were dropping. Not as many chinkapins as some other places that didn't really seem. I mean, some of them were dropping, but there were a ton of reds,
mm-hmm.
and they were raining acorns. And actually, when I scouted that place, I was on this little secondary ridge, and I was just listening to these red oaks dropping. And I actually saw a group of does run down across from me, and they started feeding on the red oak acorns. And I feel like Chris is also seeing, you know, usually red oaks are, you know, a late
season. Yeah.
I've
to get out of it.
Yeah. But I saw deer munching on them. Chris has been out hunting. He's seen deer hitting the reds. I don't know if you have seen that as well.
I have. Yeah. I did when we did the Kentucky hunt together on the WMA.
That's right. So it was very interesting. So definitely been trying to find some fresh dropping red oaks and chinkapins is kind of what I've been focused on if I'm out scouting looking for oaks. But so I still have cameras out at that place, but and I almost went and checked them before the last time I hunted at that other WMA, and I was like, you know what, there are some deer here that I would shoot. I'm just going to hunt them down. I'm not going to leave deer to go find deer. I kind of had to have a talk with myself. I'm like, even though I would like to really check out that other location as well, I'm like, just stay here.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when was it? Let's see, it's October 18th, earlier in October, only a week or two ago. No, maybe last week. I got a picture of a deer on private, so I still have cameras on private. I have a couple of cell cams at my father's place, and this is the piece that I hunted. Let's see, they bought it in like 2019, and in 2019, so 2019, 20, 21, yeah, I killed bucks on it.
Yeah,
off of it.
Yep.
I didn't kill one last year. There was a deer last year that I wanted to target. I named him Richard. I named him Richard because he's actually a dick. He was a deer I wanted to shoot, and my son was born on November 2nd. That deer showed up in daylight in front of the stand I would have hunted. I named him Richard. But he popped back up. And last year I was debating on whether he was three or four. So this year I know he's at least four, mm-hmm. if not five. He definitely looks mature. So I was like, oh, man, I feel like I call him Richard, but he's also like Theo's deer. Theo's my son. And I was like, that's Theo's buck. I feel like I have to go after him. So I haven't went back to the public. I hunted one time on the private. It's a smaller piece. Well, it's 23 acres total, but I really mainly focus on like a small like portion of it, because that's where a lot of the bucks, even more mature bucks, will roam through. But you can't pressure it too much or you'll run them out, which is what I did last year with Richard. I got too aggressive too early, bumped him early, and then he didn't show up in daylight for a while. I think the first time he showed up in daylight after I bumped him out of that area was like November 1st. But yeah, so I hunted there once and I'm like, if I'm going to hunt him, I'm not going to hunt the public where I have those other deer, just to, you know, reduce temptation. So I've just been kind of sitting idly back. I haven't been back in Kentucky, but I thought about going there this weekend. So my wife actually works the 21st. We can't find a babysitter. So probably the 22nd was my plan. But then this evening I got a picture of another buck that I've kind of been after over there for the past couple years. I call him the blind eye buck. He's at least 6 years old this year, if not seven.
Jeez, oh, Pete's.
I was telling you earlier, Rick, he daylighted. He didn't daylight, sorry. He showed up back up on camera on the 14th of, 21?
Yeah.
I have it written down. Let me go check. Yes. So on 10/14, he showed back up on camera in 2021. And 22, he showed back up on camera in this area on 10/26. And now this year, he showed up on camera in daylight on a scrape I have over there on the 18th. Now, from year's history, he usually only daylights like one time late October. So I don't know if this would have been my only evening to actually get a shot on him. I don't think so, because it's a little bit earlier than last year. And with him being a little bit older, I know when they get around that 7 year age range, some of them will get a little lackadaisical. So I'm hoping he pops up in daylight again. But conditions look right for this weekend. For anyone that's a moon nerd, I believe it is a red moon for the evening. Starting, I think tonight is the first night.
Yep.
And then through the weekend. And then obviously like Sunday, I think the major time is like 6 something, late, like 6:50 or something like that.
Prime time.
Yes, it's prime time. And then we have a cool front coming in. Temps aren't like plummeting, but I think on Sunday it's just be like mid-50s as a high. And then winds are switching from south. They'll eventually go west and then northwest. And I'm a fan of the first north after a south, just because usually that means cooler temps. And then you have that wind switch, and I feel like those wind switches will get bucks on their feet. So I kind of feel like I have to hunt the private just to put myself potentially in the game at that deer. We shall see.
Yeah. I mean, I'm rooting for you, man. I think you're right though. It's like you said, you're starting to see a little bit more sign, and you know, deer are doing more deer things right now. They're getting dumb again, which I love. It's like make deer dumb again. We should, that should be a hat. Make deer dumb again. I think with this upcoming cold front, because it's not like a drastic one like we had a few weeks ago where it's just like the bottom falls out, but it's, I think it was 66 today. The real feel of on Saturday, at least where I'm hunting, is going to be, I want to say 38 degrees. So it's going to be primed for like deer to get up. And again, I like you, am a fan of hunting that first wind after a south. So it's going to be blowing out of the south for, I think, 3 straight days. And then on Saturday, it goes to a west wind and then a northwest wind like that same day. And that's ideal for the spot that I'm hunting in Kentucky. So I'm super excited about hunting this weekend in Kentucky for the sole purpose of, I have not ever got to hunt early muzzleloader in Kentucky. And the one time I get to hunt it, it is October 2021st, mm-hmm. Which is, I killed my buck last year this same weekend, because in Ohio, every year on this piece of private ground that we go up and hunt near this other place, these bucks would always show up on the 22nd of October every single year. Just like how you're kind of looking at that one deer, the blind eye buck, we had two deer who showed up religiously every year on the 22nd and 23rd, every single year. Now, I didn't see either one of them because I had an out-of-state tag and I was going to punch it, because I hadn't punched an archery tag on a buck in God knows how long. And I'm like, I'm going to take my shot at this. And I took a deer that is now my rattling antlers. so hopefully he lures in some other deer, but this is a great weekend for it. I mean, it's normally that first cold snap weekend going into like the last week of October and right before deer start acting real, real frickin' stupid.
Hey everybody, Rick here from Fueled by the Outdoors, and I'm here to tell you about a wonderful company, Saddy's Custom Ammunition and Gunworks. Aaron Satterfield and his family have been turning out some awesome game loads lately. I've been using the Saddy's Fatties turkey loads, and I gotta tell you, they stop a bird dead. Chris used a 20 gauge this year. I used the 12. Josh used a 20. And my son actually killed one with a 410 this year with one of Saddy's loads. And my God, do they put the birds down like crazy. Aaron Satterfield and his family have a wide-ranging array of ammunition. Custom game loads, predator loads, turkey loads, the Saddy's Fatty, and also they do gun work. Please get a hold of them with any questions that you have in terms of your custom ammunition needs. Go to saddiesllc.com. That's SattiesLLC.com and tell them that Rick from Fueled by the Outdoors sent you.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That kind of leads me into my situation currently. I've hunted two more times in Kentucky. I have not yet hunted Ohio. I am not hunting Ohio until the rut. Like I'm not even going to bother with it. I'm going to work on my Kentucky tag with the days that I have, and then I'm going to go to Ohio. But in Kentucky, I have a buck on a piece of private ground that I hunt pretty regularly, but he was daylighting for a while, and it was on a west wind in this hollow, and there was actually a scrape that this deer had made God knows when. It's been there all year. So I would go I'd sit near this scrape, and I think I've sat it three different times, and I've not seen a deer at all. I've had perfect wind and everything along those lines. The only thing I can guess is that, you know, he's betting differently than what he was at one point. But also, much to my chagrin, the property owner has a cousin who I'm pretty sure put a hanging hunt in. I mean, either that or I'm blinder than a bat. Put a hanging hunt in, like, within the last couple times I've sat over there. Mm. And we're talking 40 yards from where I'm sitting. So I think he figured out that deer was there. And he put that in. So I'm pulling the Dieter Kocken method of doing stuff. Is people only usually go into the woods about 100 yards or drag things about 100 yards from the side of the road. I'm getting super aggressive. I had a camera that I put way back in the back of this hollow. And I had this buck on camera early season. I have yet to go back and check this camera because I was worried that I was going to bugger up the bedding or things like this. I only had this buck in daylight in the morning. That is the only time I've had this like buck. He's not there in the nighttime or anything like that. And it's coming out of a CRP field down into a little gully that he can use to kind of go back to what I am believing is a ridge where he beds on. Now there is a couple beds in this area, but I went back and looked at trail cam pictures and I noticed I have a picture of this buck licking a branch right in front of my my trail cam, the one all the way in the back, which I didn't realize I had on camera. So he had created a licking branch, and same thing that we've talked about previously. This was high up. It was broken off, and I must have walked by the thing like 10 times at different points during the year, and I wouldn't have paid any attention to it. And then I went back and looked at my key, like it's, he's been breaking that branch off more and more every time he walks through there. So my deer hunts have almost turned into turkey hunts because, on every sit there, I'm hearing birds. Like, I think the last time I texted you guys, like I had birds gobbling.
Yeah.
And like, it's October, and like there, I mean, gobbling, like not like a little Jake gobble or a fake one, like full blown gobbling. And I look at 50 yards in front of me out in this cow pasture, through the woods, and here's three toms. I mean, rope draggers too, just huge birds, in full strut, just full strut back and forth for probably 10 minutes. And like, had they come into the woods, the deer hunt was going to turn into a turkey hunt very quickly. I would have been my first turkey with a bow, but also my only turkey out of a tree stand. So, you know, I know where I'm going in the spring. Like, I can say that much. I know I'm going to go turkey hunt in the spring. But Kentucky this weekend, it's muzzleloader weekend. If you're listening to this now, on your way to your stand, you know darn good and well, if you're in the bluegrass state, this is a good weekend to be out. You get to use a gun like later than what we normally do. Normally this is like last weekend, but with the way everything fell, kid's gun was last weekend. So muzzleloaders is the weekend after that. So we're getting right into the prime area of being able to use a gun and back off some of these areas a little bit more, which I'm really excited about. So I can back way up off the area and hopefully not get winded or anything like that. But at the same time, I can be super aggressive and get back to where I need to go. So hopefully, you know, as we're discussing this right now and you're listening to this, I'll have a dead deer on the ground by the next podcast.
Yeah, I think going back there and getting a little aggressive, especially right now, I think you'll be just fine. It's getting, like you said, it's getting to that time of year where you can be probably be a little bit more aggressive and not have to worry about bumping him out of his bedding too much. If he's got a licking branch down there, he's been coming to it a little bit more often, or at least checking some of the does around there. So yeah, like does are hitting it. So I think it's worth worth an aggressive move.
Well, and I've toyed with this idea quite a bit, and I've ran this by you guys, and I've ran this by other people too, and it just makes sense at this point where I'm not going to blow this deer out with the wind. I'm not going to, unless he is doing something completely different than what has been going on every other time he's shown up. Like, I feel like this is a appropriate kind of aggressive push to try to get on this buck. And if I do blow him out, I learn something. I do have to kind of look at it from that standpoint. And it doesn't mean that he's gone forever. It just means that I got to figure out the pattern a little bit differently for later. Because the other thing is gun season's just right around the corner too. I mean, I want to be more aggressive right now because I know once gun season hits, the reality is, at least in Kentucky, and like it is in Ohio and most other places, if you got farms surrounding you and you've got a halfway decent buck, like the risk of that deer getting shot goes up 50-fold. Like it's not even a chance thing. And then you run into guys who are poachers and all that type of garbage too, where, you know, all they want is a rack. And yeah, that does happen down here around where I'm at. So I do have to be mindful of that as well. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, now let's hear about your Ohio spot. Cause I'm excited to see how you do there.
And I'm real excited about this. So, we've talked about this place before. We've got private that we hunt that's near a track of public. And for years, I've kind of done the same thing. And that is, I have a stand, I go to it, I sit in it in the morning, I sit in the evening. And it is very much just your traditional like deer camp type thing where, you know, you're going to do your stand. So after last year and really kind of looking at this stuff, I started thinking, I was like, you know, I don't ever see deer in the morning where I'm at. And I'm pretty sure it's because they're either winding me or I'm bumping them. And like, I got to walk up a hill to get to this place. And I know those deer are up on that bench and they're just staring down, like knowing the movement. So I decided that I was going to explore some other areas on this property and on the public nearby. So we set cameras on the private, and I was astounded by the deer that we got. I mean, this place has big deer on it. Always has. It's a matter of getting them in front of you. But we put a camera on this bench it's weird. There's like this hill has like three benches because it's been logged like three different times. So these deer are walking these old logging roads on the sides of these hills and then going up the top of ridge and going into what this old clear cut is. We've got three bucks on camera that are just absolute like toads that I'm really, really pumped about. And it, like, even if I don't get a shot at them, I'm really excited that my dad or my uncle will get a shot at it. And I think with kind of what we've seen recently and how they're going to move, they're old, they're retired. They get to hunt up there for 12 days. I don't, I get 4 days and I got to hunt it like my hair is on fire. So I decided I'm going to do something differently. So I went on to the public and I lucked out because, I started looking at maps and I was showing stuff to my dad and he goes, well, why don't you go back and look at this place? He goes, we used to hunt back in here all the time before this road got washed out. And like now it's unclear if it's a township road or what the deal is. And access is kind of a nightmare. So I'm looking at it and I was like, you know, let's go back and let's look at this. So in August, when we went up there and set my dad's camera on the private land, I was like, let's walk back and see what we can see on the public. So we drove back, parked the truck, probably not in the safest place possible with some of the people who live around the trailhead. actually was really a, it was a dumb idea, and we're lucky our truck didn't get broken into, to be real honest. But be that as it may, we access this area, we walk back, and this place is untouched and looks like it hasn't been touched in years. And just immediately walking down this trail, here's a scrape. We'll walk a little bit further, here's another scrape. We bump, you know, a whole flock of birds walking back there. So we keep walking, and we split off the main trail, and immediately Dad goes, he's like, we had somebody hunt back here at one point. And he said he always saw a good deer. And he's like, let's go back here and look. And sure enough, we go back to this, you know, point coming down off of a, it's like a point where there's some bedding, and it comes down into a bottom, and there's trails all over the place, and just it looks great. So we put a camera there. We go over to another area which it looks like an old clear cut was there, because it's really open, but there's a lot of scrub brush. So they did a select cut or something like that. So it looks like great bedding cover. And we put a camera up there. So on our way out, there's this thicket with some pines in it. My dad had said, you know, that place is always tore up with sign. When we used to hunt here, I was like, oh, okay. So it's getting close to deer camp time, and I'm out of town the weekend right before Halloween, so I don't have time to get back up there. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna eat a day of, instead of watching football, I'm gonna go with my dad, and we're gonna go, you know, set his stand up, get things ready, get my uncle's stand set up, and I'm gonna go pull camera cards. So I drive up. Luckily we got permission from somebody to let us access the public, through their property. Very, very kind person. I couldn't ask for a nicer person. Signed our permission slips and everything. So I park, walk back, and immediately there's a scrape opened up on the ground. Like, oh man, this is great. Go back, find my cameras. There's rubs on two different trees 10 feet from the cameras. So, and like, it's just like that warm feeling you get. So, one, I moved my cameras to get a better view of the area, because I was like, I'm willing to bet I've got stuff on camera, but I don't have that on camera. So, I positioned it differently. And I was so ecstatic with what I had found. So I looked around, took a video of the area, figured out where kill trees could potentially be at on different winds, and figured out what I wanted to do here. Now, unfortunately, one of my cameras decided that it didn't want to create the file in a format for me to be able to look at a computer. So I have to go back and pull that camera and then put the card back in the camera so I can look at the pictures on it. Different story for a different time. But when I looked at the other camera, the area that I thought was untouched, there is people in there. Found a man in a black wife beater walking in front of my camera with a small shovel. I'm pretty sure he was looking for ginseng. Cool. Whatever. It was not what I was expecting to see. There was a nice little six, but the thing that was more intriguing to me is that I have a ton of does, which for a rut hunt is what I want to see in that area. Just from the standpoint of if there are does in that area, that means they're eating in that area. Mm-hmm. And that means that they're going somewhere where they're grabbing food and they're coming back. So I'm like super pumped. I'm just jacked to the gills about all this stuff. I on my way out though, I remember what my dad said about like that area with the pines in it. So I walk over there and I'm like, see some deer trails, and I'm kind of like, there ain't anything over here. So unfortunately I get stuck. There's a tree down, so I can't get through this way. So I'm like, I have to walk through the CRP, And then as I get into the CRP and I start walking, a trail opens up, and here on the only tree in the CRP is this rub, like mid-chest high, you know, probably three hands tall on this tree. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is like, I'm doing the math in my head of like where I have my cameras at, where this scrape is at. Cause I had put a picture on the Fueled by the Outdoors page of a big print. And the guy's like, oh, it's just some guy says like, that's just a big doe print. I'm like, no, nah, I'm pretty sure it's a big buck print. Hmm. Well, this is a big buck print. and as the crow flies, this spot is maybe 350, 400 yards away. So it's very plausible that this deer is going up to where I have my kill trees kind of picked out at, and potentially can walk up that way. So I was just so like happy, just like ridiculously happy. And then I meet up with my dad and my uncle to go get the private squared away. Scrapes, like big scrapes opened up and oaks dropping, but not just red oaks like we've talked about. White oaks were dropping.
Oh,
and yeah. And it's one of those things where right in front of my stand, there's like a lone white oak, and like there's two chestnuts and like one lone white oak tree. And like there were just white oak acorns everywhere. So if you're listening to this, if you have white oaks in Ohio that you know were holding acorns, this is probably the weekend or the week to really get on them, because deer are opening scrapes up, but also those white oaks that normally drop maybe a week earlier than like what or should have dropped like a week or two ago might just now be dropping because of, you know, a number of different conditions.
Yeah, that would be definitely a good tactic. Like if I found a white dropping right now, I'd probably be all over it. I just haven't found any. And if I'm not finding a white, I'm looking for some scrapes right now.
Yep. I can tell you this much. Scouting, I found a white oak. Or I shouldn't say it. My dad found a white oak. And on that white oak, like you could see the deer had cleared the bottom like of every acorn, and it was still raining. But probably for, I don't know, like if you backed 30 yards off the tree and you just walk the circumference of it, so there's, you know, seven scrapes around it, just like around that tree. Because I mean, and that's what I mean by like finding like a lone white oak. Like if you're listening to us, obviously you know what the Outdoor Recreation Network is. One of the other podcasts on here is a Southern Outdoorsman. Southern Outdoorsman did a podcast with a guy named Rick Cope. I really suggest you go listen to it. It's about hardcore feed tree tactics. Like this is exactly the situation that this guy talks about in finding like the feed tree. And if you have to, getting in the feed tree to kill a deer, because your bucks, your does, and everything is going to be coming and congregating around that. The reds, like you said, and I think anybody who's been in the woods this year has said the same thing. It's just like they're hammering reds, but it's all real early, and it's almost like backwards. But we've had a garbage mast year for whites, I feel like. Just like trees that I know produce traditionally are not producing this year.
Yeah. And mast crop in general in Ohio hasn't been great, I think, the past couple of years. So I don't know if we're just having like a bumper crop year for reds and then the deer are on them. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting from a standpoint of, you know, I tend to wonder if it's not, if it doesn't have to do with like drought conditions too, because certainly trees can go long times without water, but if you go prolonged years with lower amounts of water, I think like at least in our region, we're 3 inches low for the year. So like that's going to have an effect on things. Just like when you have a drought year, EHD takes a toll on deer because they're congregating around smaller areas. What did we have last year? Massive deer kill off because of EHD, because it was a drought year. This is the second or third year really, where we haven't had enough water coming down and keeping stuff, you know, in a healthy way. I think the last good real rainy October we had might have been 2021. Maybe.
I'd agree with that. It was probably 21.
When did you shoot Charlie?
21.
Yeah, so it had to have been 21 because I remember I shot a doe.
And that was late October too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing, is that most of these rains aren't coming till late, really almost into November, in a lot of ways. So if you're getting out, this is an important time to be really making adjustments and figuring things out for the remainder of your season. And I say, I sound like an ass, I feel like, but like the remainder of your season, like it's October 18th. Like there is still a extremely large amount of time, like, you know, depending upon where you're at in the continental United States, like tons and tons of time.
Oh yeah. You got an ample amount of time. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, man, I feel so far behind. I'm like, I feel like I should have a buck down by now. And I was like, wait, it's like the second week of October.
So I do this to myself every year. And this is a good reality check for yourself. Is if you start feeling like you haven't, like, oh my gosh, I haven't had that many sits, or oh my gosh, I haven't killed a deer yet, go pull up when you telecheck your deer. And I do this to myself. I have to every year. And I look at it, like, every deer I've ever killed in Kentucky comes in November. I've never killed a deer in October, ever. And it's always either right before gun or during gun. It's always that way. Hell, I think 2 or 3 years in a row, it was Thanksgiving morning is when I killed my deer. It's just kind of the way it falls. And I think there's a lot of times where we all kind of push forward because we're like, I mean, if you hunt Kentucky or Tennessee or anything like that, you start in September. It starts so early compared to, like, you know, if you grew up gun hunting in Ohio like I did, you didn't really start hunting deer. You did not start hunting deer until after Thanksgiving. Like, that was when you hunted deer.
Yeah, I have to remind myself of that every so often. I mean, last season was the first time I ever killed a deer in September. It was September 15th. And then prior to that, it was late October for like 2 years in a row. So still plenty of time. Heck, where we live, we're close enough, but we can go back and forth between Ohio and Kentucky. Heck, could kill in Ohio this weekend, and then got plenty of time for Kentucky.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm excited though. Like, I'm truly excited about this, about, you know, I love hunting the rut. I do. And you know, it's great to kill a buck in October. It is. It's wonderful. It's great. Like, the pressure's off. You don't have to worry about it. And if you're only hunting, you know, a couple states or even one state, like, you're kind of done. But there comes a point, like, where I really love being in the woods in November. And, like, you just have, it's like gambling though. It's that weird. It's like you could have the biggest buck running in front of you in your life, or you could have nothing but dinks and spikes. And then you're just kind of like, damn it. I put all my eggs in this basket. And it's, but there's something great about it. Like, it's just such a wonderful time to be in the woods.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I mean, I grew up basically just hunting the rut, and that was like my time. I'd get out with my dad and we'd always hunt. And like you said, it's like the lottery, like who's going to hit the lottery. But I think what also drives people is you just get to see like a lot of different social aspects of like your deer herd that are in the area. You get to see all these different interactions, like bucks chasing. You get to hear like snort wheezes and grunting and fighting, and you just get to see a lot that you usually don't see at other times of the year. So I feel like that's what kind of drives people to that and the unknown. It's like those like the machines you see at like Walmart at the front doors or another arcade where it's like a mystery box and you can, you know, put your money in and see what you get in the mystery box.
It's exactly what it's like. It's like you just don't know. There's no way of knowing. Like, and I think back to like three of my coolest experiences with bucks in the woods. Remember 5 years ago, I had the biggest buck of my life in front of me at 50 yards. And he wouldn't close the distance, but I had two 10 points ramming each other and fighting over a tiny bit of corn that was left in this area where I was at. And I remember watching him crash through brush, and that big buck just sat there and watched him. And I mean, these two other deer are, you know, 120, 130 class deer, and they're just beating the hell out of each other. And this guy's just standing out in the field staring at him. And it was the coolest thing to see ever. But I will say this. You bring up like snort wheeze and that kind of stuff. I remember this has probably been, golly, it's probably been 8 or 9 years ago at this point. Yeah, because it would have been when I started bow hunting. It was a Sunday morning. I was at deer camp. I get in my stand and you could hear deer chasing. And I just hear this god awful noise. And I'd never heard it before. And I'm like, what the hell was that? I thought I heard a freaking bear like screaming. I'm like, what was it? I get down in my stand and my dad's like, "Did you hear that?" I was like, "Yeah, what was it?" There's two bucks chasing a doe roaring. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'd never heard it before, but it was like, I'll never forget the noise now. And it's such a distinct noise that you will never hear outside of that type of situation.
Yeah. Yeah. A buck roar is pretty cool to hear. You're like, what was that?
Especially like in the dark, this was pitch black out. And I'm just like, your mind starts playing all these dumb tricks. Like, it's like something going to come over here and kill me that I don't know about that's in the woods. But I digress. So basically what we're telling you all, get out in the woods this weekend. If you're not already headed to the woods while you're listening to this, you're not headed to get in your stand, go make sure, like figure out how the hell to do it. You need to be in the woods from now until the end of November. Like, this is the time of year to be in the woods and doing anything that you can possibly do to, you know, get on those big bucks.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think this weekend should be good, at least in our area. The weather's going to be good. If you're a moon person, moon's going to be good. So it is a really good time to get out this time of year. Over the past, I guess, couple years, I've started paying more and more attention to them, but I'm becoming more and more of a scrape mm-hmm. guy, especially for this time of year. So on that private piece, I do run a cell cam on it all year long.
Mm-hmm.
And, one, just because this time of year I do have some of the mature deer hitting it, but it's a really good learning tool, and I feel like I've learned a ton just by having that camera on there. And I go back every year and freshen it up. And this year I added 1, 2, 3, 4 other branches to it. I made it even bigger than what it was. And I do think that has helped just because the visual profile of it is so much bigger. And there's more licking branches. I feel like I'm having more deer in different age classes hitting it more often. But I'm from what I'm seeing on that camera on the private, there's, I'm having a lot more deer hit that scrape. And it seems like when you get one or two hit it, you'll have like a flurry of activity. I think because of the fresher scent, you'll have like, from what I've seen in this situation, right? I've seen just like the other day, I had six or seven different deer hit this scrape. That was bucks and does in different age classes. But it seemed like once the first two hit it, then there was like a flurry of activity. So this time of year, I feel like if you have an active scrape and deer are hitting it, you're going to get more deer coming to it just because their curiosity is getting peaked this time of year. But I will say not all scrapes are created equal.
Correct.
So if you're out scouting and looking for them, you want to look for a specific location. So that scrape is in kind of a transition area. It's not far from thick bedding cover. It's like the first open area and thick bedding cover. And it's not like a big open area. It's like you go from thick bedding. There's basically a UTV trail. It's a small opening and there's some thick cover on the other side. It's like the slight transition out of it. And it's at the intersection of a couple different trails. But those scrapes that are close to bedding cover, I think are what you should probably focus on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that would be my recommendation if you're going out this weekend.
Couldn't agree more, man. I think that's the best idea going right now, because if you're finding scrapes next to bedding cover, those deer are gonna they get up and they move during the day. Don't ever let anybody tell you that deer are only nocturnal, because those deer are going to get up. They're going to move. They're just like anything else in the world. Like, you know, watch your dog around the house one day. Like, they sleep most of the day, but then they get uncomfortable and they get up and they move around for a little bit. And then they move back to their bed. Like, deer are going to do the exact same thing. They're just like, they're a different breed, obviously.
Yeah. They get up during the daylight. Were you did I message our group earlier where I said I was gonna take those studies that show deer only scrape at night, and I was gonna wipe my ass with those studies?
Yeah.
if you're reading the research says that most scrape activity happens at night, which is probably true if you're looking at all scrapes. But going back to what I said earlier, don't look for any scrape. Look for a very specific scrape in a specific location.
Correct.
Then you'll get more daylight photos. Like that scrape I have on the private, the majority of the activity is during the daylight. So.
Absolutely.
I have some extra toilet paper to use.
Oh, man. I can't wait. So. Well, we're going to wrap this up, guys. If you have the ability to get somebody in the outdoors, this is a perfect time of year to do it. Please get them out. Please teach them the correct way to do things. And be ethical and practice shooting your damn bow if you haven't practiced shooting your bow.
Yeah.
Important.
And your gun if you're going out in Kentucky.
Sight your rifles. Sight your rifles. Sight your slug guns. Sight your muzzleloaders. And sight your damn bow in.
But wear your orange in Kentucky.
Oh yes, orange. I'm glad you mentioned that. This is a public service announcement. Second public service announcement. This one's at the end though. If you are in Kentucky, you have to wear unbroken orange on your person. It doesn't mean you can wear like orange camo. It means you have to wear an orange vest or solid orange that goes around your body, and you have to wear an orange hat. Mm-hmm. These are things that you can't just put on when you get to stand. As soon as you leave your vehicle and you walk to your stand, you have to be wearing these things. Don't get a ticket, because it is absolutely, game wardens will tell you, it is the easiest ticket for them to write, and they will write it.
Yes. Just, we should post a picture of you during gun season. You're the poster child. You look like a safety cone.
the giant pumpkin. I'll post a picture of it for this weekend. Oh, man. Well, guys, this has been Fueled by the Outdoors. We've been your hosts, Rick Cates and Josh Luck, and we will talk to you later. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
See ya.